If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, let's stand here for a moment for the reading of the word. We're going to start at verse 4. It is so good to see friends that we've known through the years and enjoyed the service this morning in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. I may be enjoying it more than you, but we certainly do enjoy it. And enjoy being able to be back here in London. I just believe God's going to do something great tonight in this service. All afternoon, I told Pastor before service, I said, I hope it goes out as good as it was coming in. Because, I just feel like God is wanting to do some tremendous things in hearts and lives right here tonight. Praise God. I don't believe that we serve the God of yesterday. He's God of today. And I believe that he is working and moving in our generation. I've just seen him do too much. I've heard people say, well, I wish God would move here in America. He is. And I believe that he wants to do something great in our hearts and in our lives tonight in this service. Praise the Lord. How many of you have been born again? Will you just wave your hand at me? How many of you have been filled with the Holy Ghost where you supernaturally spoke in another language as the Spirit taught you how to? Just wave your hand. Wave your hand around. Look around. God's still working, folks. How many of you have been healed? You know there's no other way to explain it. God healed you. Wave your hand. Look around. Look at that. How many of you, God delivered you from a habit or a bondage in your life, whether it was mental, whether it was physical, whether it was a sin, whatever. How many of you, God delivered you? Praise God. He's still working. He's still moving right here in this generation. And sometimes the devil would like to discourage us and make us think that, you know, God's moving everywhere else. Why is he moving here? Well, he is moving here. We were evidence of that and witness to it tonight by the hands that were being raised. In verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. It's the same word for baptism. And the way that I like to explain this is the first time I baptized someone, I was working with Royce Roy, and I am from the great state of Arkansas, and I talked super slow. And I took this poor sister, her name was Rosie, and she had a shower cap on. I cracked up when I saw her, that shower cap. I knew what was about to happen. We were about to have a water balloon on the head. And so Rosie stepped down in there, and I took her hand, and I said, I now baptize you. I put her underwater in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son. Brother Roy said, Holy Ghost, and pulled her up. And when she came up, the water was just rolling around in that shower cap. She kept getting baptized until she got to the side room and got that cap off because she was saturated in water. John baptized in water, but Jesus said, you are going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. The same word, the same meaning. God wants to submerge you in the Spirit of God. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. Tell somebody before you're seated tonight, in fact, several folks, tell them before you're seated, you need the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Some of you enjoyed that too much. You can be seated. There have been some tremendous moves of God that have taken place since Pentecost. But we don't go to those moves of God to get our doctrine. We go to the book of Acts. And let me explain to you why. Charles Fox Parham preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and Agnes Osmond was the first to receive right at the turn of the century in Topeka, Kansas, a powerful move of God. But when Parham went down to Houston to preach, he made William Seymour sit outside because he was black and he didn't feel like that it would be appropriate. He didn't feel like that he was as good as the white people that were in there hearing the message of Pentecost. I want you to know that is a lie from the pits of hell. That is a tactic of the devil to separate the races. That is a tactic of the enemy. So we don't go to Topeka, Kansas to get our doctrine. We go to the book of Acts. And the word of God plainly had said that it will come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams and your old men will see visions. And it flips around in the New Testament. God had spoken. It was biblically based. This Pentecostal outpouring was explained in detail in the Word of God. And let me tell you, friend, God is still moving by the power of His Spirit in this generation. He said in verse 8, you will receive power. The word that is used is dunamis. It's used 121 times in the New Testament. It describes the supernatural or the miraculous. Without the supernatural moving of God in the church, we can't accomplish anything. But with the supernatural move of God, God is able to do whatever He wants to do. I preached a revival and a young woman came up to me in a crowd of people after the service and she said, you told about something that happened at such and such place. She said, I was there. I don't remember that happening. I looked at my wife and I said, because I'm very concerned about being honest. I want to be honest in everything I say and do. And so I went to my wife and I said, honey, I said, did I exaggerate any part of what happened there? And she looked at me and she said, I have no idea what she was talking about. She said, honey, God was moving in such a miraculous way. There were miracles of healing, brother, that there's no way to explain it away. It was the supernatural move of God. But what was happening? The enemy was making her focus on the negative things and focus on things that were filled with doubt instead of being filled with faith. And we get that attitude sometimes. A woman came to me. She said, Pastor, I just wish God would move the way He did in the book of Acts. And I didn't shake her. I really didn't want to shake her that much. But a little bit, I wanted to just, what are you talking about? Because on the pew that she sat on, there was a man that sat beside her who was so bound by hell that people all in his community feared him. But Jesus had completely turned his life around. Beside him was his grandson that God had supernaturally delivered from years of addiction to drugs. Right beside him was a young woman that God had delivered from drugs as well, and the Lord had completely turned her life around. Beside them was a young man that we had just started discipling who had been delivered from the power of hell, and there they are worshiping God together. Right there on the same pew, just down at the end of the pew where she was sitting was a man who's close to 70 years old, who the doctor said, you might as well get a wheelchair and start getting used to using a wheelchair. But when the Spirit of God began to move one night in our service, the Holy Ghost touched him. He started dancing and moving, and now that man to this day walks 6 and 7 miles a day. Who the doctor said, you won't be able to walk anymore. He also had diabetes. God completely healed him. He doesn't take anything. He doesn't even have to watch the way he eats because of the way that God supernaturally healed him Praise God. Right behind him was a woman with a stomach condition who the doctor said, listen, you are going to die a very slow and painful death. Don't you like how encouraging doctors can be sometimes? You're going to die a very slow and painful death. There's nothing we can do to fix this condition. But one Sunday morning, song leader, as the Spirit of God began to move, Brother Lowry, he just started trembling. He came down off of the platform and walked over to this lady who had only been in church a couple of times. And he said, I just knew God was telling me he's going to heal her today. And he put his hand on her forehead. He's shaking like this. And when his hand bumped into her, boom, the power of God hit her. She felt a hand go inside of her body. She said, I couldn't wait to go back and testify to that doctor. When she did, the doctor was so frustrated. He said, ma'am, I don't even know who you are. Please don't come back to me ever again. I'm discouraged. I'm frustrated because I can't explain this medically. All I know is you are not the same woman that came in before. And she also had lost a lot of weight, so that might have been part of it. Amen. That he didn't recognize who she was. But her physical condition had changed because Jesus reached in and healed her body. Right behind her, listen, I'm not exaggerating, right behind her was a woman who had been possessed with many demons. When she came to church, she looked like she was probably in her 60s. And listen, all you ladies in your 60s, you look great. But when you're 30 years old, you don't want to look like you're 60. And she was in her late 20s, early, getting ready to go into her early 30s. And she looked like she was in her 60s. She came to the front. She's growling. All these voices are coming from inside of her. And male voices, that's not normal. My assistant pastor came over to me and said, I think she's got a devil. I said, you think? He said, what do you want me to do? I said, just pray. I'm going to tell you right now, there are not enough devils in hell to keep somebody bound who wants to be free. If they'll come to Jesus, they're about to get set free. Praise God. Her husband was an atheist. I found this out later. He was an atheist. But they tried the medicine. They tried the doctors. They tried everything else. But they brought her to church. And I walked over to her and I took my hand. She started trying to act like she was speaking in tongues. And I put my hand on her wrist. And I said, you come with me in the name of Jesus. Several male voices, intimidating voices, come out of her and said, we don't have to obey you. I said, yes, you do. In the name of Jesus. She dropped her head like a little puppy dog. I've seen him do that several times and just followed me out the side. We had a lot of sinners there that night. I didn't want it to be confusing to them. We took her to a side room, cast the devils out of her, and brother, her countenance completely changed. She looked like she was in her 20s. I mean, there she was, just a beautiful young woman, completely delivered by the power of God. When Drew walked into the room, Drew's a good friend of mine. But when Drew walked into the room and he saw her, he literally fell against the door and slid to the floor. And this is what he was saying, Pastor, as he slid to the floor. He was saying, there is a God. There is a God. Preacher, how do I know him? Hey, what a privilege to lead him to Jesus as the Lord gloriously saved him. And now that young woman that was full of hell has moved out and heaven has moved in. And her hands are lifted towards the Lord and she started speaking in tongues. This time it was the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Today she ministers in the state women's prisons. God has anointed her and using her for the kingdom of God. That woman was sitting right behind where this lady who's saying, I wish God moved like he used to move. Praise the Lord. Right over beside them was a man who was an alcoholic for almost 20 years. God delivered him, saved him, and he looked at me and said, Preacher, I'll never touch drinking ever again. He hasn't since that day. God delivered him, one of the most effective workers that we had in the church. Glory to God. God set him free, saved his whole family, delivered them. The others, I could just keep on going, but I can tell some of you are just like, come on, get to the next point, so I'll move on. What I'm trying to say is she's surrounded by the miraculous. by the supernatural power of God. Paul said there would come a day where they would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power. It is the same words it used in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. There'll come a day when they will deny the power of God. They won't allow His Spirit to supernaturally move, or they'll just dismiss it, or they'll be blinded. It was almost as if this woman had been hypnotized and bound to where she couldn't see what God was doing. Tonight, praise the Lord, I'm about to have a one-man camp meeting. Glory to God. I know I'm just here for one service, but I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands right now? Amen. He's in this room. Father, we praise you right now. By your stripes, hallelujah, we are healed. I believe right now, if you'll just reach up and touch that nail-scarred hand, I believe virtue will flow into your body right now. In the name that is above every other name, I curse that sickness, that infirmity. In the name of Jesus Christ, let him heal your body right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. There'll come a time where they will deny the supernatural. Hey, sometimes we get in a rut. We get satisfied with where we are, and we begin to deny the supernatural power of the Spirit of God to even move and work and operate in the church. But can I shout it in this room tonight? God is still moving, and it's based in the Word of God. This isn't some extra biblical teaching. Brother, this is the way that God wants the church to live in this hour. Amen. Glory to God. The move of God was biblically based in the book of Acts, and it still is today. Praise God. He's still moving by His Spirit. The second thing I want you to notice, it was birthed in fire. It was birthed in fire. The church was born in fire, and the church will continue to operate in the fire of God. On the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. God's still doing that today. Praise the Lord. The most recent trip that we went on to be able to minister with the Ennises was just an honor. They're tremendous servants of God. Did you know, Brother Scott, the Lord has used him to plant over 500 churches in Africa? He's just a good man. I love Brother Scott. And Lavana, the things they've been through. At one point, she was telling her story. I was just crying. I said, man, I feel like I'm on Oprah. Give me a break for a second. I mean, she had me broken, the things that they've been through. Amen. But their heart is just broken right now for the church to receive a powerful Pentecostal move of the Spirit, and we had that. Praise God. I mean, God came down in a glorious way. And I'm telling you, the church will only function in London, Kentucky, the way that God perfectly wants us to, when we are birthed in the fire of the Spirit of God. I was preaching in Togo. In fact, I'm getting ready to go back to Togo and preach. I'm so excited because it's been several years now since I've been there. But in Togo, we went to this remote village, and when we got there, they had this brush arbor set up. There's about 200 people there. And I preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when I gave the altar call, I said, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to come. I believe God wants to fill you today. Everybody came. And I looked over at my interpreter, and I said, Samuel, they didn't understand me. He said, Pastor, you don't understand. This church, 1 year. These believers have been fasting and praying 40 days to be filled with the Holy. Oh, it was on. Hallelujah. The old men lifted their hands and started speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. The older women lifted their hands and started speaking in tongues. I mean, just powerful, one after another, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Boys started lifting their hands and getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Young men and girls and young ladies lifted their hands and were gloriously baptized in the Holy Ghost. I mean, the fire of God was resting on that place. To Jambi, after a little while, got a hold of me. He said, "Brother Snow," he said, "we've got to leave. We've got other churches we have to get to." I mean, one after another was receiving the power of the Spirit of God. That didn't happen 100 years ago. That didn't happen 2,000 years ago. That just happened recently. Oh, can I tell you, God is still birthing His church in this world through the fire of the Spirit of God. One of the things when God began to deal with me about this new ministry, one of the things that I struggle with is I've never lost my burden for the American church. And I was concerned as I prayed, because I'm concerned about our churches. I really am. And the Spirit of the Lord just began to really deal with my heart. I'm not having to give that up. We're still able to preach some revivals and preach in the States and preach camps. I love praying people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean the real Holy Ghost, where they don't just say a few words in another tongue, but they get baptized like Rosie. Amen. It's still just pouring out on them. 2 or 3 in the morning, they're still huddled over in the corner speaking in tongues and having to pick them up and carry them out of the church. Glory to God. He's still moving today. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I said He's still moving today. The district superintendent came to me and said, "Brother Snow, what is going on at that church? Why is it over double? Why is this happening?" He said, "What programs are you doing? What new books have you read?" I said, "Brother, we have 6 o'clock in the morning prayer meeting. I haven't pastored anywhere where we didn't have a 6 o'clock prayer meeting." Hey, man, when people pray, God moves every time. Man came to me after just attending for a while. He said, "Brother Snow, haven't heard you give an altar call for the baptism of the Holy Ghost." I said, "Brother, they've all got the Holy Ghost." He said, "They've only been saved for a few months. I talked to some of them." I said, "Brother, when they get to that altar," I used to, you know, when I first started, I had a little bit of Joel in me. I just wanted them to feel happy. And so I didn't want to make them feel uncomfortable. "I'm glad that you came to the altar. God bless you." That's about as far as I do, you know, when they got prayed through, because I didn't want to run them off. But after about 6 months of pastoring my first church, I said, "These guys don't get the Holy Ghost. They're not going to make it." So I got right in their face after they got saved. I said, "It's good God saved you, but now He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You need power to live in this world. You need power to live in this generation." Do I have an amen in the room tonight? Hallelujah. Because the church is birthed in fire. We're only going to operate. We're only going to function in the fire of the Spirit of God. Recently preaching for Brother Setzer in Germantown, Ohio. It's tremendous what God is doing in their youth group. The youth group has just exploded. I was in one of their services, brother. There was probably 120 to 140, I don't know, young people. And the youth group never was that size. But one of the girls got filled with the Holy Ghost and stood up on the table in the cafeteria and started preaching the gospel and said, "You need to get what we've got." And started bringing friends. And so last summer when we preached Southern Ohio, we had 34, I believe it was, in one service, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then I went back and preached again to just their youth group there from Germantown, and over 25 more received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's here at the first of this year, and every service we had young people getting filled with the Holy Ghost because the church is birthed in fire. One of the girls, there was so many stories I could tell you about that, but I won't go into those details. But one of the girls was a young Catholic girl, and she had just got born again. And she's standing there. I saw her. Her hands are up, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost fell on her. And she started speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, and she went. She didn't know what was going on. There was one of those girls that's only been saved about 3 months, walked over to her. She was ready, because they've had several receive the Holy Ghost like that. She walked over to her with her Bible, and Acts chapter 2 was open, and she said, "This is what just happened to you. Lift your hands back up and let God fill you with His Spirit. He's empowering you for service. I wonder how many people right now in this room would just lift your hands and say, God, fill me. Refill me. Hallelujah. Let me be birthed in the fire of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Snow, that's emotionalism. Let me tell you what this emotionalism has been doing for almost 30 years now. It's casting the devil out. Hallelujah. Sick bodies are being healed. The crooked is being made straight again. The deaf are hearing. Hallelujah. This isn't emotionalism. It's the power of the Spirit of the living God working and moving in the church. And how many of you say, I want Him to do that in my life? I want Him to do that in the church. The third thing was it was building the church. Look in Acts chapter 2. And let's look down at verse 46. I'm not going to read all that text that's there, but let's look down at 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Every day, God was adding to the church. Amen. On Saturday, God was adding to the church. The seeds that were planted. And listen, I learned this a long time ago. There are some people that may never get planted in this church. They may never get planted in the church that you're ministering in. That's what we want. That's the goal. Because we know what's going to be preached in this church. And we love them enough to really give them the gospel. So we want them here. But I'm telling you, God's kingdom is bigger than one church. Amen, Brother Snow. Go ahead and preach. Okay. I will. God can build His church. And when we get to heaven, we can all rejoice together. And I guarantee you this. When we see Him, when we see the King, Brother Lanham, it's not going to matter to us what church they got there in. We're just going to be glad they got there. When we see the King, we're just going to be glad that we get to be a part of it. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord was building the church. Sister, if you'd come to the music, the final thing I want to tell you is they were blessed by God. Now, I believe we have this, all of the scriptures. We're going to go through this pretty quick, brother, if we can. In Acts chapter 2. Was Pentecost. It was a supernatural move of God. Chapter 3, the lame man was healed. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn right now and look in there and mark beside it. In Acts chapter 2, it was a supernatural outpouring of the Spirit of God where they supernaturally spoke as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Recently in southern Alabama, We have what we thought was going to be our last child, Hosanna, who is about to turn 14. And we named her Hosanna Joy because I believe in my lifetime, Jesus is going to come back for His church. And just like they shouted Hosanna, I wanted her to be a testimony that Jesus is coming again. And just like they shouted Hosanna, wave those palm branches. Amen. We're going to shout Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And her middle name is Joy, and she is such a joy. And in southern Alabama, Brother Kenny Morris, him and his wife, man, I tell you what, if Sister Morris gets a hold of you, you're either going to get filled or killed. You got to make up your mind what's about to happen to you because she ain't letting go. And Hosanna was gloriously baptized in the Holy Ghost. One of the oldest that a lot of our children have been before they received the Holy Ghost, 13 years old. God gloriously baptized her in the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. And do you know what it sounded like? Really, I need you to hear this. It sounded like the Gambia. Glory to God. As those people began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God taught them. It sounded like the South Pacific, Brother Jarvis. When one after another, those men and women fell on their faces, and before their faces hit the ground, they were shouting out in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. It sounded like in Arkansas. Well, my daddy was standing behind me, put his hands on me, and said, "Son, that's okay. It's the Holy Ghost." Everybody had left the church. They were trying to beat the Baptists to the restaurant. And daddy was behind me, and he said, "Son, it's okay. It's the Holy Ghost. We're not leaving until you get filled." And the Spirit of God began to speak out of me. That's what it sounded like. You know what I'm saying? It's the same Holy Ghost everywhere that God is pouring out in His church. He left a church that was full of the Holy Ghost. And He's coming back for a church that's full of the Holy Ghost. Whew. Pastor, something's happening right now in this room.
It is not by might.
I am God, there is no other.
Hallelujah.
Call unto me and I will answer thee.
Thank you, God.
I will do the same thing that I have done in years gone by.
Yes.
For I am God.
Yes.
Look unto me, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it's by His Spirit
that He's going to build His church in this hour. Could we praise Him right now? Could we look to Him as He's admonished us to right now? He is the Lord. There is no other.